The Assassin.
You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest. You know I break necks, call me Jack Tate. I have no regrets while your life is fading. I'm a crazy fuck equivalent to Satan. When I'm behind the mic, I feel like the greatest.
What up, y'all? You're listening to Sports Talk with Trop, and I'm your host, Katie Trop. Well, it has been the week of Ronald Acuña. I've been talking about him all season long. Even mentioned last week how, in my opinion, the dude is a shoo-in for the National League MVP. But he's making the case even greater for himself with what he accomplished this week. So let's begin with what he did on Monday night. He actually ended up stealing his 61st stolen base of the season. And that puts him in the upper echelon of greatest players of all time, really. He is now only one of four players ever to hit 20 home runs and have 60 stolen bases in one season. So we've had Ricky Henderson do it three times. Then we had Joe Morgan do it twice. And then Eric Davis has done it as well. So he is now one of four players to do that ever. And it just goes to show the dude is so diverse and so versatile. He just is such an amazing weapon for the Atlanta Braves to have offensively, defensively, stolen bases. The guy is just a beast. And if he doesn't win the National League MVP, I don't know who the fuck is going to win it besides him. But so that's what he did on Monday night. Also on Monday night, Jose Altuve, for the first time in his career, hit for the cycle. Oh, by the way, I forgot to mention when Ronald Acuña broke that record with the stolen bases, the Atlanta Braves actually got the win, too, against the Colorado Rockies, 14-4. So that was not only was it a great accomplishment and achievement for him, but his team also won, which is the most important factor of all sports. But anyways, back to Jose Altuve, who had a great Monday night as well. He's had a stellar career, no matter how you look at it. I know a lot of people, since he's with the Houston Astros, people like to kind of write him off and act like he's very overrated because of the whole cheating scandal. And they like to act like he's the only guy who was a part of that team for some reason. But I digress. I am not one of those people. I actually do think Jose Altuve is a very talented player. And he's proven it basically since the day he hit the league. And he continues to do that. And him hitting a cycle only just pads his amazing resume that he already has. He went 4-for-6. With four runs, but you know, he hit the cycle, so that means you got a single, double, triple, and a home run. He didn't get the home run until towards the end of the game as well, so it was a big deal for him. It was also a big win for the Houston Astros over the Boston Red Sox, a 13-5 win. And man, those Houston Astros, not only are they surging, but these motherfuckers are scoring so many runs. Them and the Braves are just so unstoppable offensively once they get going, so I don't know what's going on, but they are just knocking them out of the park. Then on Tuesday night, my San Francisco Giants actually did something good as well. I mean, their season's been pretty mediocre, in my opinion. I don't think they have a shot at a World Series. Yes, they have a shot at the playoffs, but whoop-de-fucking-do. If you ain't going to win the World Series, who the fuck cares? But if you make the playoffs, of course you have a chance, but I don't think they're a World Series team at all, especially when I just discussed the Braves, who are 10 times the team they will ever be. Same with the Astros. We ain't got shit to keep up with them. But I will say the Giants' starting pitching has actually been pretty solid this season. Unfortunately for Logan Webb, he hasn't been getting the run support that's really fucked up his season, because otherwise he's actually been really solid. It's just he doesn't have a lot of wins because he's not getting a lot of run support. So he's not getting that. But Alex Cobb, another starting pitcher, he's also having a pretty solid season. He almost had a no-hitter on Tuesday night. In the ninth inning with two outs left was when he gave up the hit. The Giants did get the win 6-1 over the Cincinnati Reds. But, man, he just was that close to a no-hitter. And there was even a huge play in the outfield earlier in the game to just keep the no-hitter intact. It was still a dominating game from Alex Cobb, but he was just one out away from a no-hitter. And then on Thursday, last night, have I talked about Ronald Acuña Jr. yet? Because I'm going to do it again. Last night, he became the first player ever in the history of Major League Baseball to hit 30 home runs and have 60 stolen bases in one season in an 8-7 win over the Dodgers. And not only did he hit a home run last night, he hit a motherfucking grand slam. This motherfucker is so clutch. He's so damn good. The only thing that stops him are the injuries. That's it. That's the only negative thing you could say about Ronald Acuña Jr. Other than that, this dude is a beast. And it was a huge win for them, too, because the Dodgers, they're on fire. They're playing great. Mookie Betts had 2 home runs in the game last night. That guy's on fire as well. So big game from them. And big season for Acuña. All right, and let's take a look at the playoff standings right now as it looks in baseball, starting with the American League East. Right now, the Baltimore Orioles still have the lead in that division, but a slight lead, a 1.5-game lead over the Tampa Bay Rays. Then the American League Central, the Minnesota Twins, they keep moving. Haven't really talked about them much this season just because I think they're a very vanilla team, and I really only think they're going to make the playoffs simply because they're in a horrible division. But they have been hot, and they've maintained this lead. They've pretty much have had the Central lead for the majority of the season, and they have a current 5-game lead over the Guardians. For the division right now. And then in the American League West, it is a clusterfuck. The Seattle Mariners have finally taken over the lead, but it's by 0.001% over the Houston Astros, who currently have a 1-game lead over the Texas Rangers, who have lost 10 out of their last 13 games. So the Rangers just keep circling the drain, whereas the Astros and the Mariners are playing really well right now. They're continuing their hot streaks, and it's still a clusterfuck, though. I mean, you can't count the Rangers out, but they are really circling the drain at this current point in time. And then right now, the American League Wild Card League, right now we have the Tampa Bay Rays, the Houston Astros, and the Texas Rangers are the top 3 teams right now in the wild card, with the Toronto Blue Jays 2.5 games out. So even if the Rangers don't win their division, they still look like they're going to grab a wild card spot, because while I think the Blue Jays are a decent team, they haven't been consistent enough. And I feel like just the Rays, the Astros, the Rangers, and even the Mariners, these are the teams that are kind of hovering around the wild card spot. I kind of feel like they're just much better teams than the Raptors, than the Blue Jays. It's because the Blue Jays just have not played consistent ball. And then you also have Bo Bichette, who just went back on the injured list earlier this week. So I don't know. I kind of feel like right now what we're looking at with the American League, with Baltimore have the East lead, Minnesota with the Central lead, Seattle, Houston tied for the West, and then Tampa, Houston, and Texas for the wild card. I kind of feel like that's what we're going to end up with in the American League. But you never know. Still a couple weeks left of baseball. We'll see how it goes. And then the National League East, pretty much has already been won by the Atlanta Braves. They currently hold a 14-game lead over the Philadelphia Phillies. Then in the Central, where it actually is a clusterfuck, the Milwaukee Brewers, they hold a current 3-game lead over the Chicago Cubs. And then in the National League West, the Los Angeles Dodgers have a 13.5-game lead over my San Francisco Giants. So it's looking like the East and the West are pretty much settled. And then turning to the National League wild card spots, we've got Philadelphia Phillies at 1, Chicago Cubs at 2, and then my San Francisco Giants at 3. And then we have the Arizona Diamondbacks currently a game back, and then the Cincinnati Reds a 1.5 games back. So obviously the East and the West, in my opinion, already belong to the Dodgers and the Braves. The Central still up for grabs, and then those wild card spots. I feel like it's going to be a battle between all those 5 teams for the most part, because 1 game is not a big deal. 1.5 games also not a big deal. So the Diamondbacks and the Reds are really in line, and it's probably going to be a battle for the Central and the wild card spots all the way down to the last game of the season. All right, and since we have NFL football starting next week, oh my God, can you believe it, y'all? Next weekend, we finally, at least I am excited about this. I am so excited to just sit my fat ass in front of the TV and watch football from start to finish. It's just so fantastic to do that. And since we still are a week away, we are going to round out my 2023 NFL season predictions today with the saving the worst for last. The two worst divisions in the NFL are obviously the NFC and AFC South. I mean, really, these divisions could go to any team because that's how shitty they all pretty much are. So we'll see what happens here. But I think both the NFC and AFC South are just terrible divisions, and they could go anyway. But this is how I believe they're going to turn out for this season. So let's start off with the NFC South and who I think is going to win the NFC South. I believe that's going to be the New Orleans Saints. I think they're going to finish the season 10-7. I think they drastically improved the team by picking up Derek Carr in the offseason as their quarterback. That's pretty much been the only missing link for the Saints since Drew Brees retired. I mean, Drew Brees' last season, actually his last two seasons weren't that great, but he was still better than what they have. And then ever since he retired, these last two seasons have just been in complete disarray, which is terrible because they do have a lot of weapons. You've got Alvin Kamara in the backfield, who is going to be missing the first, I think, 4 to 6 games. He is suspended for the first few games of the season. He's definitely going to be out at least a month because of that. I believe he beat the crap out of somebody in Vegas, something of that nature. I can't recall all the details, but I do know he's going to be missing the first half of the season. But that's not really that big of a deal because they picked up Jamal Williams in the offseason, who I think not a lot of people are talking about, but I think that's a huge pickup for them, not only because Kamara is going to be missing a good chunk of the beginning of the season, but this guy was money last year for the Detroit Lions. So I think this is a big deal, not only in Kamara's absence, but I think he's going to be huge when Kamara comes back. Because he's a solid running back. He's a really hard-nosed running back who could get you yards, he could get you touchdowns. So I think that's a big pickup for them. But outside of Kamara, you know, they've had a pretty decent wide receiving core. You know, they had the rookie Olave last year, who I think is going to go off this year and actually have a really good second year. And then their defense has always been pretty good. And I still think it's going to be pretty damn good this year as well. So to me, Carr is the missing link. Now, of course, Derek Carr, he pretty much underachieved when he was with the Raiders. I mean, it's not his fault that he basically had a new offensive coordinator every single season that he played. So that's never going to help you. So I think he's going to get a lot more consistency here in New Orleans. I feel like he's coming into a very solid team. The major question mark definitely is going to be their offensive line. I do have questions there, and that's not a good thing for him, but I feel like he's got plenty of weapons to choose from when it comes to the running back position, the wide receiver position, even the tight end position. And then, of course, you've got the defense, which I just think is a really damn good defense. So I do think the New Orleans Saints are going to step it up, and I think they're going to be back in the playoffs this year, and I think they're going to win their division because I think they're the most – out of all the teams in the NFC South, I think they're the most consistent, they're the most ready, and they have the best roster, and I just feel like they're primed to win this division. Then I think the Carolina Panthers will finish in second place in the NFC South. I feel like they're going to have an 8-9 season. So not a terrible year, but not a great year. And I just think that's the nature of they're starting a young quarterback this year. They got the number one overall pick in the draft, Bryce Young. So we don't know what we're going to get from him. You know, there's a lot of questions of the team surrounding him. I don't think they have a lot of weapons, but they did add in Adam Thielen in the offseason. So I think that's going to be a big move just to help Bryce Young. I think Thielen is definitely past his prime days, but he's a solid veteran who I think is going to come in and make a big difference for Bryce Young, the rookie, kind of give him a little bit of guidance. And Thielen is one of the best route runners in the league. I feel like he doesn't usually get a lot of credit for that for some reason. But when you watch the dude, he's an amazing, excellent route runner. So I feel like he's going to be the dude Bryce Young tends to look to when he's in trouble, because Thielen is always, he's always going to help you out. And so I think that's a big move for the Panthers. I think defensively, they're going to be a very solid team. But offensively, there's going to be a lot of questions. There always are a lot of questions when you start a brand new rookie quarterback. He's definitely going to have his growing pains. But I do think the Panthers are going to be better than they were last year, but they still have a ways to go. Then I think the Atlanta Falcons are going to finish in third place in the NFC South. I've got them going 6-11 this year. They did make a big move by drafting Bijan Robinson in the draft this year. He's an excellent player. He's a Texas Longhorn, so I'm very familiar with his skill set. He is excellent in the open field. He is he's great with catching. He's great with running. He doesn't really have a lot of fumbling issues as well. So I just think he's an overall really solid running back. But outside of him, what the fuck did the Falcons have going on? Their starting quarterback is going to be this dude named Desmond Ridder, which, that's their starting quarterback, Mr. Nobody. So I kind of have a feeling this might be the team that has the rotating quarterback situation. As, you know, there's always like 3 to 5 teams every year that has this like rotating quarterback situation, whether it be through injuries or they're just that terrible at the quarterback position. That's how I feel about the Falcons. I think it's just going to be Reader's going to get the start, and if he doesn't spark anything, they're going to go to somebody else, and they're just going to kind of rotate back and forth all season. They have a terrible defense. They have a terrible roster outside of Bijan Robinson and Kyle Pitts, so I'm not expecting much from the Falcons this year. But I'm not expecting a lot out of the last place team in the NFC South, and that, I believe, is going to be the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They are definitely 100% going to miss the services of Tom Brady, what he did for them the last couple of seasons while he was with them. But I think the Bucs are going to be terrible this year. I think they're going to go 4-13. Baker Mayfield is now going to be their starting quarterback, which isn't the worst thing in the world, but I also don't think it's going to be a great move. They have a terrible offensive line. The running back position is extremely questionable. He is going to have a good wide receiving core, but is he going to be upright? Is he going to not be injured? Because we all know Baker has the injury issues. But, I mean, outside of the Bucs defense, which is usually solid, usually good, I just kind of feel like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers are going to be one of the biggest regressions just because they no longer have that Tom Brady swag anymore. I mean, the dude was money, and he made sure that you were a legitimate team, and so now the Bucs go back to where they belong, the basement. So I'm not expecting much from them this season. Moving on to the AFC South, the absolute worst division in the NFL, hands fucking down. Who do I think is going to win this terrible-ass division? The Jacksonville Jaguars. Yep, that's right, people. You heard it here. I am picking the Jaguars for once in my life. I think they're going to go 10-7 this season, so I do think they're going to be a good team, but I don't look at them as a dominating team yet. To me, they have to play it and prove it to me. If they start the season off, let's say like 3-1, 4-0, definitely going to be a believer, because like I said, terrible division. If you get a huge lead in this division, you pretty much got it after the first month of the season. So if they start off really hot, which I wouldn't be surprised if they do, because, you know, this is Doug Peterson's second year as the coach. And I just feel like Trevor Lawrence, he started to really come into his own towards the end of last season. I felt like this team really started to get cohesive as the season wore on. So I really actually expect to see the Jacksonville Jaguars build off of what they did last year, and also take advantage of being in such a terrible-ass division that I think they're actually going to pretty much easily win this division. While I have a second place team only being one game behind them, I still kind of feel like the Jaguars are going to be the team straight out the gate that pretty much dominates this horrible division. So in second place in the AFC South, I have the Tennessee Titans finishing there. I have them finishing at 9-8 this season. I do think it was a big deal that they picked up DeAndre Hopkins in the offseason because they did need a fresh wide receiver who actually can make plays. But other than him, you know, they do have Derrick Henry, but he's been getting injured the last couple of seasons. That's never a good thing, especially when you're a running back in this league. There was also a little bit of disagreements between Derrick Henry and the team. He didn't necessarily request a trade, but it kind of was looking like that. He definitely wants a new contract, but they have yet to give it to him. So we'll see what happens there. But I just kind of feel like the Titans, they aren't that great of a team. I don't really believe in Tannehill. You know, Hopkins, I feel like it was a good pickup, but he's injury prone now and old. Derrick Henry's getting up there. He's injury prone as well. And I don't think their defense is going to be as good. So that's why I think they're just going to fall short of the division. And I think they're just going to be one of those floundering teams that gets a few good wins here and there. But for the most part, they're pretty mediocre when it's all said and done. Then I think the Indianapolis Colts are going to finish in third place in the AFC South, and I think the Colts are going to be one of the worst teams this season. I've got them going 3-14 this year, not only because they're also going to be starting a rookie quarterback in Anthony Richardson, which I think is a good move because I don't really think they have anybody better on the roster, and I feel like if you used a first-round pick on a quarterback, you have to throw him into the fire. If you have nothing else, you might as well just throw the rookie in there, get him some experience, whether it's good or bad, it don't fucking matter. Just throw him in there. So Richardson is getting thrown in there, and we'll see what happens. But the big deal with them has been Jonathan Taylor all season long. It's been back and forth. I want to be traded. We're not trading you. I want to be traded. We're not trading you. And now he's on the PUP list, and he's probably going to miss the first game for sure, because they haven't said he's going to be playing in the first game, but he's definitely going to be missing some time, which is just weird because he's not injured. It's just really they can't agree. And Taylor wants to be traded and they don't want to trade him. And for whatever reason it is, between both parties, it's just not happening. And I just kind of feel like when you head into a season like that, when they already had drama all last season, then they had drama, you know, with the whole coaching situation and what are they going to do at quarterback? And then it goes to Jonathan Taylor, and it just looks kind of like, to me, the Colts are going to have yet another horrible season, and I'm not expecting much from them at all this season. But a team I'm expecting even less from, and that's rounding out the AFC South, which is a very typical position for them. I've got the Houston Texans. I've got them finishing at 2-15 this season. Yeah. I think the Texans are still going to be one of the worst teams in the league. They are also going to be starting a rookie quarterback in C.J. Stroud, who, in my opinion, actually looks like he's going to be a pretty decent quarterback if he's given, you know, if they start building around him, which, you know, it's going to take some time for this team to get going, but that's really their only shining star outside of him. They do have a pretty decent offensive line, but receivers, blah, running backs, blah, defense, blah, new coach, who knows what's going on with him, rookie QB, who knows what to expect from him. So this team, to me, really doesn't have a shot at being anything but terrible this year. So that's par for the course, though, with the Houston Texans, and I expect them to be typical Texans. So those are my my predictions for the entire season. Of course, on Monday's show, I will go over my playoff expectations and who I think is going to win the Super Bowl. So yeah, that'll be Monday's show, and then we will be getting started with predictions and the season. But this weekend, it's college football kickoff, y'all. So that's pretty fucking exciting. Real excited to see how my Texas Longhorns do it this year. I expect them to act like I said the last episode. I expect the Longhorns to be pretty decent this year. I expect them to, I'm not saying national championship, but I definitely feel like they're going to be a pretty good team this year. I think they're going to have college playoff hopes, but we'll see. I think it's going to be a very interesting year. And so college football kicks off this weekend. And then, of course, we still have baseball. And then NFL football starts next Thursday night. And I can't fucking wait, y'all. So enjoy the weekend of college football and all the rest of the sports. And I will talk to you all on Monday.